So today we're going to be talking about loneliness. Loneliness is one of the most miserable feelings a person can have. Sometimes you may feel that nobody loves you or that nobody even cares you exist. I remember when I like that Joe mentioned his freshman year of college. I remember when I went to West Coast Baptist College and I was working 35 hours a week and I was taking a full credit load of college and I was around people constantly. There was very little time for me to sleep. There was very little time. Even that night, I would go into the dorm and we'd have a study session for about 4 hours until 3 a.m. So like time by myself was about 3 hours a day. And that's when I was in my bed. And then I'd wake up and go to class. So I was surrounded by people, but I was paralyzed by loneliness. I'm an extrovert by nature, but when I was struck with this feeling of loneliness, I felt like even normal communication was difficult. And I'm someone who, I love talking to people. I love it. It gives me energy. But when I was experiencing these feelings of loneliness, it was hard for me to have normal conversations with people. I felt like no one cared about me. I had communication, but did not have meaningful contact with other people. The weird thing is, you don't have to be alone to feel lonely. You can feel lonely in a crowd. It's not the number of people around that determines your loneliness, it is your relationship with them. A definition of loneliness is this: it's the lack of meaningful contact with other people. The lack of meaningful contact, but that's not in your notes, but it's the lack of meaningful contact with other people. In the world we live in today, we have never lived closer together with social media, with electronics and technology, but we've also never lived farther apart. I think of superstars and Hollywood stars that have killed themselves or isolated themselves due to loneliness. They're popular. I think of Robin Williams. I think of Michael Jackson. I think of these people who've achieved so much in their life when it comes to what we would like. I would love to have the popularity and the humor of Robin Williams. I would love that. That'd be really cool. But his life was marred and characterized by loneliness. People who get married because they're afraid of being alone, and then there's those same people sometimes get divorced just a few years later because they were alone in that relationship and they felt loneliness. We all experience loneliness at one time or another. And this begs the question, how can I overcome loneliness? Sometimes we bring loneliness on ourselves, and sometimes loneliness is thrust upon us by our circumstances. That is the condition that we're going to look at today of the Apostle Paul. Paul was we know him to have been stoned and beaten and thrown in prison. And when he writes the book of 2 Timothy, we see that he is right in the crux of his prison stay. And he's writing to young Timothy, urging him to come visit him because he felt alone. The thing about loneliness that we have to understand is loneliness is usually a hint that it is time to become better acquainted with God. That is in your notes. Loneliness is usually a hint that it is time to become better acquainted with God. We're going to take some principles from Paul's life. I keep wanting to say Peter because I'm preaching on Peter on Thursday, or on Sunday. But Paul's life, and we're going to learn how we can overcome loneliness. But before we do that, we have to look at what causes loneliness. The first thing that causes loneliness is transition. We see that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, this is what Paul writes: "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course." Paul was at a moment of transition of his life. He had been the active evangelist. He had been the missionary. He had started so many churches. But now, he's dying. He's either going to die or be executed. The transitions of life are the first cause of loneliness. Any new experience we have to deal with can be lonely. Your first day of school was lonely. Your first day on the job, lonely. Changing jobs, lonely. Retirement, not that I know about that, but lonely. The death of a loved one, loneliness. These methods of transition bring loneliness. Not only are there's a statistic, because Paul was experiencing that final transition of going on and about to die, there's a statistic that 70% of people, 70% of people in rest homes never get a visit from somebody else. 70%. That's the feeling that Paul was having. He was in a time of transition. Not only does transition bring loneliness, but separation. When you are isolated, apart from friends, apart from your family, because of a career, military, or any reason, that can cause loneliness. Paul mentions his best friends, his traveling buddies. Look at this. For Demas hath forsaken me. And we know that verse because everyone quotes that in a different context. Having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus, we know that he wrote unto Titus because Titus was, like Timothy, was one of his best friends. Titus unto Dalmatia. We see that Paul was separated from those that he loved the most. He loved being around people and never went anywhere alone. Now at the end of his life, he experienced loneliness because he's in a foreign country, separated from his friends. Twice in the book, and I didn't write it down, but in verse 9, twice in the book, Paul asks Timothy to come and visit him, and he does it with such passion because he's so alone. I really want to see you. We can always relieve, and I love what Mrs. Davis said, we can always relieve someone's loneliness with a letter, a call, or a visit. It's just the small things that can change someone's life, and that's a little bit of a rabbit trail, if you will, but I wanted to mention that there. Ask the Lord to help you be sensitive to those who struggle with isolation and are lonely. The next cause of loneliness, and this is one that really hits home for me, is opposition. Not only is he sitting alone in prison, but he's being attacked. Alexander the coppersmith, in the next verse, did me much evil. The interesting thing about this is the Bible never tells us what Alexander did to Paul. Not at all. We have no idea. And I think it's interesting. Sometimes the Bible leaves out details that if we were going to write the Bible, we would put in. Like what he did. Like if I was writing a letter and I got to a part where Alexander the coppersmith did something to me, this is where there would be three chapters where I would just go on a tangent about how Alexander is a brat and how he did this and that and this and that. And this is how I felt about it. And he didn't even care. And that's it. But it's one verse. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. To put it bluntly, Alexander most likely vigorously opposed Paul. And that kind of opposition created a true lonely feeling in his life. It is a lonely feeling to be misunderstood, embarrassed, and humiliated. I can relate to that. For three summers of my life, I counseled at a Christian camp. I absolutely loved it. Working with teenagers is, I believe, my calling, at least at this time in my life. I got to work with teens about drug addiction and self-harm and mental health and getting saved, baptism. I mean, just amazing, all over the board, and I loved it. However, there was a situation that happened, and one of the other counselors didn't like me very much. So what she did is she wrote a letter to the camp director saying that if I was not fired, that she would leave. Now, I didn't know this, and I got fired. And I was heartbroken and destroyed, and then they eventually told me about the letter. And I tried to explain myself, I tried to defend myself, but no one believed me when I told the truth. I felt alone. While God eventually showed the truth to those in power in his timing, while I was going through it, all I felt was loneliness. Opposition spawns loneliness. The last thing, and this is probably the saddest part of this passage that causes loneliness, is rejection. Look at verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. All men forsake me. This is the most serious and most painful. It's when you feel you've been betrayed, forsaken, abandoned in your time of need. When everything got tough, everybody left Paul. Nobody spoke up for his defense. He's now in prison. Rejection is one of the most difficult things for a human to handle. God tells us in his word that we have an emotional need for acceptance, and when that is violated, it's a serious sin. We know what causes loneliness: separation, transition, rejection, opposition. We know what causes it, but how do we deal with loneliness? Let me ask you guys this question. How do people normally deal with loneliness? What's a normal response? When you feel lonely, what is your natural response to do? You can answer. It's okay. You will be recorded.
There's several ways people deal with it. I don't know if one more than the other. I know some people have a tendency to eat. Some people have a tendency to gravitate towards things that are not healthy to consume things that are not healthy just because they're not getting that attention that they're getting because maybe this may be a situation of rejection, you know, so I think it depends on which one of these they might be experiencing. They gravitate towards something to fill that void, you know, of loneliness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pity party.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I know people who throw themselves into work, workaholics.
Oh, yeah.
They feel pain, so they hide behind their jobs. Materialism, shopping. This is one that I used to do really, really bad. I would get paid next to nothing at my job, and I would spend it immediately because I was lonely at college. So I would start buying clothes and it was really weird. But I'd buy tons of things, and anything that will make me happy, but none of those things satisfied. Some people look outside of their marriage. They go into affairs. Some turn to drugs and alcohol. And like you said, there's pity party. Woe is me. These are ways that people naturally handle loneliness. But the Bible, Paul, gives us an example of how to properly handle loneliness. And the first principle is use your time wisely. Before I get into the passage, I want to share one thing about my life. I've struggled with mental health for the majority of my adult years. And when Pastor Joe came here to take over the pastorate of this church, he saw me, and he saw that I was isolating, and I was hiding like a hermit crab. That's what I was doing, because I was experiencing a lot of depression and pain. And you know what he did? He grabbed me, and he shook me out of my hiding place. And he showed me that I needed to, instead of hiding, instead of isolating, instead of doing things that are harmful, to use my time wisely. Look at this. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bringeth with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. He's struggling with loneliness. He's struggling with opposition. He's struggling with all these things. And his first thing to do is say, hey, grab my cloak. Grab my books. Grab the parchments so I can write. Instead of focusing on his pain, he focused on what he could do at the time and the resources that God gave him. He used his time wisely. Whatever you can do, do it. He didn't mope or complain. He didn't say, this is what I get for all these years in ministry. This is what I get for starting those churches. Bring my coat. Often lonely people don't take care of themselves. They stop eating right, exercising. They ignore their personal needs. But this, Paul did not do those things. Instead, he used that time of loneliness for good. Paul ends up writing 13 books in the New Testament, most of which he wrote from this prison. He used that time of pain and loneliness to do something right for God. The next thing is reduce the hurt. Reduce the hurt. Play down the loneliness. At first, no man stood with me. We looked at this verse before, but all men forsake thee. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Instead of going on like I would have done and writing books upon books about the people who hurt him, he says, I pray God doesn't lay that to their charge. Instead of making a big deal out of what happened, he minimized it. If you guys have ever worked with PowerPoint, you can take an image and you can stretch it out, or you can shrink it. And he took it and he shrunk it. Now here's the thing. There's an American author that most of us will know, Edgar Allan Poe. He wrote The Raven and Telltale Heart. He's a very famous American author. He influenced American authorship. But here's the thing about him. His writings were very dark and very emotional. If you study his life, he had lost people. He had lost his wife to disease. A lot of tragedy has struck his life. And you see it when he writes The Raven. You see it when he writes all of his writings. You can just feel the pain. Because what he kept doing is he would rehearse the pain over and over again in his writings. And instead of minimizing it, he stretched it out. At the end of his life, he went from relationship to relationship. He is known to literally have told a woman that if she didn't marry him, he would have killed himself. He went from relationship to relationship. He attempted suicide several times. When he ended up dying drunk in a bar, they called his death almost a suicide. Because he literally took his whole life and didn't reduce the pain. Paul had a lot of time on his hands, but one thing he did not have time for was resentment. Resentment makes you lonelier. You are locked in a self-imposed prison that drives people away. Paul wanted to get better, not bitter. Have you ever been around somebody who all they talk about is something that happened in their past?
Oh, yeah.
I was that person. Every conversation I had was my past. No one wanted to be around me. That causes loneliness. That causes people to separate, object, and resist you. Reduce the pain. The next principle that we find is appreciate God's presence. Where is God when you're lonely? Right next to you. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. This is why he's in prison. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He's alone, but he realizes he's not alone because he has God with him. You may not be able to see God, but he can see you because he is always with you. He is omnipresent. There is no place God is not. And when you understand that, you are never alone. Appreciate God's presence. And lastly, have compassion on others. That by my preaching, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. He looks at the end of the result of his imprisonment, knowing that the Gentiles will be saved. He understands that through his loneliness, people are going to be impacted by the gospel. He had compassion on other people. I think of Corrie ten Boom, the famous woman who helped Holocaust victims get away from the Holocaust. When she was young, she wanted to marry a man, and he went off and married somebody else. And her father gave her a piece of advice, and I'm going to read it from my notes. When she got home, her dad said this to her: "Corrie, your love has been blocked. You can dam it up inside and hold it inside, and it will eat you up. Or you can rechannel it to something or someone else, and you can focus on other people's needs. You can live a life of love, meeting other people's needs." We know what she did. She followed that advice, and she saved people's lives. See, what are we going to do with our love when we're lonely? We can bottle it up and let it go bad, or we can use it. Focusing on the needs of others. We often, when we're lonely, we start to build walls, but we need to build bridges. Instead of complaining, "God, I am so lonely, lonely, lonely," start saying, "God, help me be a friend to somebody else who's lonely. Help me build a bridge instead of a wall." Because God's love eliminates loneliness. I'm going to be talking about this on Sunday, but God's love is agape, perfect love. It's a love that transcends emotion. It flies in the face of emotion. It's a decision-based love. If you look at John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." It's focused on the decision that the love induces. It's not about the feeling. And we're going to talk about that a lot on Sunday, but that's the kind of love that eliminates loneliness. It's perfect God's love that can only be accomplished through Christ. Jesus knows what it's like to be lonely. In his darkest moments, all of his friends fled. All of them. Even Peter, the one that said, "I will never forsake you," he was gone. He felt like his father had forsaken him. "My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus knows how you feel. He wants to help you. Let Christ conquer your loneliness. When I am lonely, I will lean on God and love others. I will lean on God and love others. I thank you guys for listening tonight. Like I said, I'm just a kid. But I'll tell you this. This is something that pastor's been showing me for about 6 months. Every single one of these points. I know them before I even looked at what I was going to be talking today. I knew because he recites them every day to me in his office. But this is something that's starting to change my life. Understanding to use my time wisely, reduce the hurt, appreciate God's presence, and have compassion on others. God's love truly does eliminate loneliness. Let's pray, and then if we have any questions, we'll...